Yeah, well, listen, good things, man. We're closer to our adjusted objective, like target for this season. It wasn't the one we started with. We started with more ambitious targets, but here we are, man. We ended with several problems during the season, so now we are in the adjusted one. We are actually solid for the Champions League next season. We just need to secure all the next games. But let's go back a little bit in time and talk about the few previous games and everything that happened in Europe since. First, we didn't cover the Manchester City loss in the home game. Let's briefly talk about that because it's not that relevant anymore. But I was a little bit disappointed because we had that we almost had it in the bag, but somehow during the game we just you know gave up somewhere. For me, from what I saw, it's mainly due to inexperience and also to inconsistency. So we score a goal early on, and instead of still pushing forward and threatening Manchester City, we just decided to defend.
Yeah, we wanted to try to win 1-0, and you just when you're playing a team like Manchester City, your game plan just it can't be to win 1-0, especially in like the second leg of a Champions League like quarterfinal. Like you can't. I don't know. I don't think we played horribly. I just don't think we played with as much urgency as we should have after we scored that first goal. Like we didn't look comfortable because we were still definitely like you could tell we were still like playing hard, but we weren't attacking hard. Like we were defending hard, and you can only defend so well for so long, especially against a team like Manchester City. Like I feel like going into that game, my mindset was that Manchester City is definitely going to score at least one goal, so we need to just go ahead and score at least three goals. And scoring the first goal, you know, that gave us a little bit of like a boost. You know, that puts you in a good position, but you can't play as if you want to win the whole game 1-0 when you score an early goal like that. Like it's hard to defend for that much of a match and to do it well against a team like Manchester City, who's got so much quality, so much experience, so much talent. Like you just, I don't know. It was kind of frustrating, but not like in the same way that like losing to Mainz or something would be frustrating. It was frustrating because it felt like we really actually had a really good chance and we just couldn't quite like get our hands on it. But it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, enough said about that. You actually covered most of it, but yeah, we actually moved on. Since then we didn't lose a game. So we just destroyed Bremen at home 4-1. We paid back Union Berlin a week ago or last week. On Wednesday,
yep.
And we also got a very important win against Wolfsburg, which puts us in a good standing to get a top four or even a top three. We can even get a top three now, which is pretty crazy with how this season started. So yeah, well the what I like is that the players are more. We are more like when now like in contrast to a couple of months ago, now when we win a game or when we score goals, we're still ahead, you know what I mean? We still keep our composure to take the game, like to finish the game winning. And most of that is to the players, like almost all of it is to the players' credit, because I watched all these games and I can sense that our players were not try like scoring and just defending, you know what I mean? It's like they try to, they score and then they still threaten the opposition all the time. So opposition is on their feet. They know that the threat of another goal is always present. So what they do is that they are more conservative in the way they attack. And we saw that mostly with the Union of Berlin and also Wolfsburg yesterday. So also like we have so many players who are back in form. Like Erling Haaland is scoring goals. Gio Reyna is back. Sancho is back. Actually, Erling Haaland has just clocked the fastest player this season in the Bundesliga at 36 kilometers an hour. So yeah, and we also have Marco Reus, who is going back to the, to his form. Defense is solid. Marvin Hitz has been very good actually in the. In the as a goalkeeper, like he's been very solid as well. So it's all good actually, and I'm also excited for the next games. But going back to all these results that we made happen, I'm very happy with the way this season is heading. Especially that we're still in the race for the DFB Cup, which is like. We need that cup so much to, like, we need it a lot, man. Everyone needs it, I believe.
Yeah, I think it would be huge. Like, just, especially with what we're doing, like, with how we've been playing these past few weeks, it really, it would give us something kind of to hold on to and take with us from the season, because it's been, like, one hell of a ride for the whole season, and I think, like, I think it's pretty easy to say, like, the players have been through a lot, the organization has been through a lot, the fans have been through a lot, and for how we've been able to overcome, like, obstacle after obstacle, even if it's obstacles that we created for ourselves, like, I feel like winning the DFB Cup would be something that, like, I don't know, I feel like we would have earned it if we do win it, and that's something that, like, the players would deservedly be able to celebrate, and same with the rest of the organization and the fans as well. Like, it'd just be like a feel good moment and a good way to end a year that felt like it couldn't produce anything meaningful for us.
Yeah, I also feel the same way. It's like at some point during this season we were pretty desperate for anything, and like Terzic coming into to management was not smooth at first, but we could actually see how it started building up with players' confidence and with also the overall team morale. And so many individuals to thank here, because he was given a chance. We didn't rush bring in just any other coach to replace Favre. At the same time, we also gave so many players like chance. And Sancho, like, to be honest, Favre has sidelined Sancho for a long time this season. So Terzic brought him back and also instilled the confidence in him. Even though he saw that he wasn't performing as he used to, he still trusted him to come back to. And you can actually see that with the way he congratulates players, encourages players, like even when players are subbed off, the way he communicates to them. You could actually see that he is a very major figure in that Borussia Dortmund bench. Despite his inexperience and his young age, he still is much better than we were, like in the situation we were in before. So other ones like to thank is like Mikhail Zorc. Also, it seems weird that I'm thanking people before the season has ended, but still, like, we have done so much to salvage something, and I'm sure that we, like, for me now, I am confident that we'll play Champions League next season.
Yeah, I'm a lot more confident than I was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 100% sure, man. But like we saw players like Dahoud bringing back so much in the midfield. We saw players like Bellingham being a major component to the team throughout the season, despite his age. He's already like played a huge role. We see players like Haaland, like Marco Reus. We see players like Morey, Piszczek is back as well, Guerrero, Hummels, Akanji. You know what I mean? So everyone is like invested in something. I didn't see much unity. Like it might seem like cringe or like a stereotype or some kind of, but it's like the players are very united right now. They
Yeah, I
are
would agree.
on the same. They are on the same page. They weren't like a couple of months ago. Like we take that for granted. We were all over the place. Now we are really on the same page. Everyone is there to do their business as they should do it. Everyone is in their best position possible. We don't see any like insane nonsensical like type of rotations that we saw before, like putting players who don't belong somewhere to play in that position. So everyone is really invested in getting that Champions League, and everyone knows that. Like for players like Haaland, Sancho, Marco Reus, Champions League action is important for them. These are world-class players who want to participate with the biggest clubs in Europe. So then we don't want to play Europa League. We're not like interested in playing on Tuesdays, Thursdays, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's not the goal here. So everyone is like, okay, we need to do something about this shit. Is it in our power to stop other teams who are competing with us from winning? Not if we play against them. Like if they play against other teams, we cannot stop it. But is it in our power to pick up as many points as possible to the end of the season? Yes, it is. So let's do exactly everything we can to reach that goal. And that's what I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, I agree. Like we at this point we have opportunities to do things that like we kind of are in control of our own destiny. Like obviously if we win out and Frankfurt wins out, I guess like that's unfortunate, but like I don't think Frankfurt is gonna win out. Like we have like we pretty much control our own fate at this point, and we are playing with this enthusiasm and unity that we had been lacking earlier in the season. And yeah, I like there's just a lot of we're seeing a lot of good things from our team that we weren't seeing for a lot of the early and mid parts of the season. And like obviously it's kind of like, man, it would have been nice if we had this all year, but we didn't have it all year, and so we had to figure it out. And it looks like we're if we haven't figured out, we're certainly pretty close to figuring it out, because we have been playing phenomenal football for these past couple weeks. And like just I don't know, like I think it was Guerrero scored the second goal on Tuesday against Union Berlin, or Wednesday. And like in my head I was thinking, like, how many games do we lose when Guerrero scores a goal? Like, if Guerrero's scoring, that's usually a sign that we're playing really well as a team, because he's not someone who's gonna score a goal in a game where everyone else is playing poorly. Like, for him to get involved in the attack, it requires like an entire team effort, just because of the nature of his positioning on the pitch. And like he and Marco Reus, I think Marco Reus especially has really had a phenomenal like 2 or 3 week stretch where he is he's just been a huge difference maker, and he's really like he's been playing like a fully healthy Marco Reus. And like a fully healthy Marco Reus, as we have talked about probably 100 times on this podcast, is like a critical part of Dortmund. And like here we're seeing it again. Like even if he's not scoring, he's causing problems for the opposition back line. Like he's creating space and creating opportunities for other players. And like
Like
Haaland played
he even
phenomenally.
dived, man. Do you know how much it takes for a player like Marco Reus to dive to get a goal? Like he even dived against Union Berlin. Like it's not like 100% a dive. He smartly like put his feet on the goalkeeper's like body, but still he started falling down way before that. And to do that as Marco Reus, like I know he's one of the most the fairest players, professional and very very a very cool person, funny and you know does he's a joker in most part in terms of like behind the scenes he's most of a joker, and he was frustrated a lot this season with how his performance has been, because in my opinion this is like almost we could see his worst season in terms of product like goals and assists, but he's still been a leader and he dived, so he did his best, you know what I mean, he went with that, he was like okay fuck that shit, let's get a goal, because Union Berlin were very like congested as a team, and they were like very they are one of the best teams this season. They were able like to beat all the best teams, so they were playing very well and stuff like that. So he was able to he was like forced to make that decision to dive. So you could see it actually that everyone is engaged to do something. Everyone wants to do something. So that joins actually your point about Marco Reus being there for the team.
Yeah.
I would say. And also Leverkusen has done us a huge favor yesterday by beating Frankfurt. So we thank them for that. Our fellow neighbors. And we'll have three games. The three last ones. We will host Leipzig. We have a very good history against them, so let's get that done with. We'll travel to Mainz, and then we'll host Leverkusen at the last game. So it's like I don't have to say it, and you don't have to say it either, Ryan. But it's these 9 points. We need to pick up all of these points. Don't you agree?
I would have to agree, yeah. Like, it's, we can't afford to miss out. Like, Leipzig, I think, is the one team there that is the biggest threat to us, only because, like, they're still, like, clinging to their final hope of beating Bayern in the points for the Bundesliga. But, like, they have a lot of work to do. Like, they need Bayern to slip up, because Bayern is pretty much... Like, they have it pretty much wrapped up. It would be tough for them to not win. But, like, Leipzig, if Bayern does slip up and they continue to win, then it puts them in a position where they could actually win the Bundesliga. I think they're playing right now, actually. Yeah, they're playing right now, and they're up 2-0. And so that'll keep that race tight. So, like, Leipzig still has something to play for. But like you said, we have a good history with Leipzig. And I think that's a match that we should really be able to win. Like if Leipzig holds on and wins, they will be 7 points back with 3 games to go. That is a tough window of opportunity. Like even if they do everything right, they need Bayern to do a lot wrong. And I just I'm gonna get ahead of myself and look at who, like, Bayern plays Mönchengladbach on May 8th, I think. Yeah, and then they play Freiburg and Augsburg. So those really are three matches that you would expect Bayern to win pretty handily. Mönchengladbach could pose a few challenges for them, but I still think, like, Bayern is, if they win one more game, they'll clinch it. And so, like, Leipzig's kind of, I mean, they're... Like, they're going to be playing because they need to win, but I still think Dortmund has more to play for at this point, especially with what we've had to deal with for the past several weeks, where it's been like, you know, we've been dangerously close to falling out of Champions League contention and all that other stuff. Like, I would expect us to be able to handle Leipzig. It'll be a tough match, but other than that, I don't think we should be dropping any points. And even against them, I don't think we should be dropping points. Like, we need to win that game.
Yeah, and I agree with you in that the season's pretty much wrapped for Bayern Munich. They are champions, 100%. There's no way they will like give that up. So I wouldn't. Yeah, I would agree. I will have to agree with you on that. But yeah, in terms of the next games. Yeah, it's 9 points. We should actually win all of them. That's if we want to play Champions League next season. And we still have also an important game next week on Saturday. Incidentally, we're not playing Bundesliga next week, so we'll play in DFB Pokal. So it's gonna be a very important game against Holstein Kiel. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly, but it seems like that is the team who knocked out some big names this season. And yeah, we need that win, obviously. They actually knocked out
Yeah,
Bayern Munich,
they're a hot
in
team right
Germany.
now. They're not they're a team that we should beat, but they've been playing very good football, and they're definitely not going to be a walk in the park. Like, we're going to have to bring our A game. And I think it's important too, not just for the cup that we win, obviously, but for the remainder of the Bundesliga season, because I think losing to I can't even say it. Kiel. I'll call him Kiel. I'm gonna try to get it correct. But if we lose, I think that would kill a lot of our momentum that we've established. Yeah, Holstein Kiel or Key Kiev Kiel.
Yeah, just
Yeah.
that one,
Yeah, we
that
can't
team.
like we can't afford to lose to them in the cup, and it'll also I think it'd do a lot of damage to our confidence heading into Leipzig as well. And
Yeah.
that's just we can't afford to take a hit in our confidence, because I mean, I don't like Leverkusen, they're a tough matchup, but they're another team that we should beat. Mainz, I don't understand Mainz, because they're not like a good like they're not a bad team, but they're also not a great team, and they just for whatever reason they cause a lot of problems for teams who are at the top of the table. So they concern me just a hair because of how disruptive they can be. But I mean, that's like on paper, that's 3 points for Dortmund, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But Mainz have also been playing well lately. Like, they're in really good form. And then it's three tough matches to close the Bundesliga, but three matches that we should be able to win and get 3 points for. And I'm
Definitely.
looking over at Frankfurt as well. If I can pull it up, it looks like their season finale, their final three games, aren't as tough as ours, because
Yeah.
they've got Mainz. So I guess Mainz, if you could do us a favor and just beat Frankfurt, and then
Also,
let us
Schalke.
beat you, we'd appreciate that. But then Frankfurt also has Schalke, which like
Please,
that should
Schalke,
be that'd
before you
be an easy win
disappear.
for Frankfurt, but. Like, if there's any time Schalke could win, like, they've only won, what, two or three games all season? If they could
My
win
God.
one more for us, that'd be great.
Yeah.
And then Freiburg at the in the final match of the season. And Freiburg, like, I mean, they're not a bad team, but they're not like actually they're like right in the middle of the table. They're sitting at ninth. But they're like well out of the competition for one of the top four spots. You know, they've got
Yeah.
41 points. They're clear of they're like very clear of relegation, but they're also like not able to really play for anything. So I don't know if they're gonna really
They
pose any problems for
have nothing to
Frankfurt.
lose, actually. Yeah, they have nothing to
Yeah,
lose
they have nothing to
because,
lose and nothing to gain but pride. So like hopefully that motivates them to make it difficult for Frankfurt. But though, like, Frankfurt has the potential to lose any of those matches too. Like, if we take care of our business, we just gotta hope that Frankfurt slips up, even if it's just a little bit. And because I think we would have Frankfurt on goal differential, if I'm not mistaken.
Actually, it's not only Frankfurt who we are trying to overtake it. Also,
It's Wolfsburg. Yeah. Yeah.
Wolfsburg as well. We are on target for that as well. So Wolfsburg have a couple of interesting matchups, actually. They have Union Berlin, they have Leipzig, and they have Mainz last. So
yeah,
let's
those
hope.
are
Okay, Union Berlin and Leipzig, they can take some points off of them. I'm pretty
oh
sure of
easy
that.
yeah
So let's just try to, like, if we win all of our games and one of our other rivals loses here and there or draws here and there, we're in
yeah.
actually. So
we're in.
We'll be in the Champions League next season. So we just need to get 9 points out of 9. That's the thing.
Yeah.
it's difficult. I understand, but at the same time, it's not that difficult. So
yeah, we've been playing well lately. Like, I mean, we can do it. We can win 3 matches. And
yeah, we
and
can.
Even Leipzig, they're 6 points ahead of us, and they'll be 9 points ahead after today. But you know, if we beat them, and then they lose to Wolfsburg too, because Wolfsburg has something to play for. Like, Leipzig is their closing matches are difficult too. Like, they're kind of out of reach, but you never know what could happen. There's a couple different ways we could survive.
Yeah. Like, if Leipzig lost today, I would say so, but they won today, so yeah, let's not focus on Leipzig right now. Our main goal is either Frankfurt, Wolfsburg, or both.
Yeah.
If both, that would be perfect. Third place is good. If one of them, I'll be happy with that. Let's play for the title next season, but for now, let's just survive. Let's get
yeah,
something.
Survive in advance.
Yeah, survive advance. Let's get something to play for next season. Let's get hopes. Let's get some money in
yeah.
the bank.
And you gotta imagine too that fans are gonna be back next season, which
yeah.
I think that overwhelmingly benefits Dortmund. Like, playing in front of the yellow wall is huge, because I think this year, I don't want to say we've been bad at home, but we've struggled at home compared to how we normally perform. And
yeah.
I think a lot of that has to do with the lack of energy in the stadium. Like the
Definitely,
players
yeah.
feed off the fans and the fans feed off the players. And it's a very unique environment in Dortmund. And when you remove that aspect of the game, you're taking away like a huge part of what makes Dortmund so special. And
yeah,
and I'm optimistic in hoping that even if it's not full capacity, in some capacity, they'll have fans next year. Because I think anything would be better than an empty stadium. Like, I think even if you're looking at like half the stadium or a quarter of the stadium, that's something that's more than nothing. And I think it can make enough of an impact to give us a little more stability and confidence at home.
I think so as well. So yeah, in terms of the end of the season, that's how we need to do it. So let's get in there. Let's get Champions League action next season. Let's also get the DFB Cup, because God, we need that. We need a title this season. So that's a title. That's a major title. That's
is.
A major fucking title. It's not some kind of. It's not a joke. It's an internationally recognized title. So let's get it, and you know, start next season fresh. As you said, hopefully fans will be back. I saw that yesterday. There was the first UFC event with fans back in Florida, Jacksonville. I was pretty happy to see that, and hopefully Australia as well. They had yesterday a football game, I think, or maybe their own rugby version of football. I don't know what it's called. And they also had like around 70,000, if I'm not mistaken, 70,000 fans. In the stadium. So I want to see fans back. Maybe in reduced capacities at first, but I want to see fans back. And I'm sure that the yellow wall is going to play a huge impact in how we perform in the next few seasons. Like, we have it all, to be honest. We have all the... We have it all. We have young players. We have talent. We have skill. We have good management overall. We also have a new coach next season. And there's no excuse. So, let's do our best, and let's talk about one last thing before we wrap up here. The European Super League, the league, the huge planned, like the highly criticized and planned league that has lasted 2 days, 48 yeah. hours. This screams like power of the people, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
We like, not myself. I, to be honest, Dortmund didn't join, so I wasn't as vocal as, for example, Liverpool fans. But I'm sure that Liverpool fans, Manchester City fans, Chelsea fans, Arsenal, all these teams were very, very... and we thank them for that, to be honest. Like, we have to thank them. We have, like, to all these fans around the world who were very angry, either online, on Twitter, or in real life, thank you so much. Football owes you a lot. And, you know... Champions League, the new format of the Champions League is the lesser of two evils, but let's try to like get it over with this European Super League first, and then let's go back to the UEFA and like just to talk to them about the new format, because that's also a bad thing in my opinion. And yeah, any thoughts about that Super League thing?
I think the Super League was, I think it was a big money grab. You and I have kind of talked about this and messaged each other on the side. Like, it was just a couple of big clubs that already, I think outside of, I think Dortmund, of all the teams that were, like, invited to that Super League, Dortmund was the team that financially probably would benefit the most, just because, like, this year has been pretty, tough for Dortmund financially. Like, and Dortmund is always a club that has trouble like trying to keep itself financially stable, and so like you would think of all the teams that were invited, Dortmund would have been eager to jump at that opportunity. But the thing you got to respect about Dortmund and Bayern too, to their credit, like both of these both clubs from the Bundesliga that were offered a position in this Super League rejected that invitation. And I think that's a testament to how much those organizations, Dortmund and Bayern, are in touch with what their fans want and with what, like, world football fans want. And that's no Super League. Like, the Super League is, in my opinion, I can understand why it was an idea, but I think it's just, like, a cash grab and, like, a way for teams that already generate a ton of money to, like, generate more money so they can just go buy more good players. Like, teams look at the price tags on like Erling Haaland or on Jadon Sancho and they're like, well, we want Leo Messi, we want Cristiano Ronaldo, and we want Erling Haaland and Jadon Sancho. And like, that's the only way we can afford that is if there's a Super League and we make more money. And it's like, to me, there's really no reason for the Super League. It also, in my opinion, takes a lot of value away from the Champions League and makes the Champions League seem less important. And it also takes value away from domestic competitions and like the country that you're playing in and the league that you're playing in, because I could imagine you'd see teams like reserving their best players for their Super League matches and then yeah. kind of like just sandbagging their way through their club season or something. And I think that'd be horrible for football on a large scale. Like, I think right now that you've got like a good number of games in a season, but you also have time to get your international games in, your international competitions, like your European Cup competitions from the Champions League to the Europa League. And adding that Super League would just complicate scheduling more, and it's tough for players to play that many matches. Like, it's already a very physically demanding schedule. If you added that in there, I think you'd be creating a much greater risk for players getting injured from fatigue, from just doing too much damage to their bodies. Like these guys are like literally like pushing their bodies to the limits at least once a week, and sometimes twice or even three times a week if they're playing in, you know, their country's cup and then in the European cups. Like, they need a couple days of rest, and the Super League would take away a lot of that rest period, and it would force teams to pick and choose when they want to rest their best players. And with a Super League, you would imagine that teams want their best players to be playing against other teams' best players, especially when you're taking the best teams in Europe. And like, I don't know, it just seemed like kind of a like a a a diet version of the Champions League, except it's invite only, and it just, I don't know, I didn't like it. It screamed elitism to me, and I didn't like I just don't like how it changes the value of the matches clubs are already playing. Like, I think that it's important that clubs are putting their best players out there as often as they can, and the Super League makes it impossible to do that for all of the competitions, unless you've got teams declining their Champions League invitations because they're in the Super League. And to me, that's not good either, because, like, you've essentially just pushed the Champions League out of, like, meaningful existence when you do something like that. I don't like the way it was designed. Like, I think if there was, like, a proper, like, I don't know how this would work, but there's got to be, like, you can't just create a league, grab a bunch of good teams, and be like, okay, we've got a league. Like, there's got to be some kind of, like, formal protocol and process to follow, so that if teams want to do something like this, they have the opportunity to, but they can't just decide, okay, we're gonna make our own league and it's gonna be better than every other league. Like, that to me is bullshit. Like, that's cheesy, that's greedy. There's a right and a wrong way to do things, and that to me was entirely the wrong way.
Yeah, you've said it all there, and yeah, I'm sure that fans' outrage played a role. Mostly teams are scared for their pockets, so especially these privately owned teams. So I guess governments also played a role in there, because there were governments who were also implicated in the UK, and they were, especially the UK government, were very threatening in the way they dealt with the situation. So I'm sure that the teams were like, hey, the fans are not happy. Like, money makers are not happy. Players did not really vocally speak up, to be honest. And maybe rightfully so, I don't know. But yeah, it's, things went out. But the thing is, for me, is the thing that people forget is that I don't want to watch, like, Bayern Munich and Real Madrid play themselves 5 times in one season.
Yeah,
or 6 times
exactly.
In one season. I want to see them play, like we watch the Champions League, we watch these domestic leagues, and we wait, and we are excited to watch these big games at the end of the season. Like, it's, everything is a build-up. The teams that meet up in the Champions League final, it's a build-up. Like, we wait for it. Everyone is excited. Everyone wants to watch it. But imagine if such a game as, for example, Manchester City, Barcelona, or Liverpool, Bayern Munich, were just your standard game that you watch, like, 5 times a season or 6 times a season. Then it's not going to be that special, actually. You know what I mean? Like, there's a reason the World Cup is once every 4 years. It's because there's this build-up, there's that excitement. You're waiting for something special. And if it's common, it's not going to be special anymore. It's going to be just like Mainz versus Schalke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So let's keep it this way. Maybe the UEFA, the Champions League new format should be also criticized a little bit, so we can get rid of it before it's put in place. And yeah, I mean, from our own responsibility as a club, we denied it. Bayern Munich, to their own credit as well, denied it. PSG, out of all the teams, also denied it.
Yeah, so, which is that one kind of made me laugh too, because I was just like Dortmund, I expected to decline. Bayern, I honestly, like, I didn't expect them to decline, but I wasn't surprised that they declined. But, like, PSG, I for sure thought PSG would have accepted. I thought that's something they would have jumped all over. So I kind of chuckled when I saw that. I was like, wow, that's, like, a pretty cool surprise.
Yeah. I was happy as well to hear that, because they are, like, despite playing in the French league, they are still a very powerful, financially.
Yeah, they're very influential.
And financially, like, powerful, and they have one of the, like, two of the best players in the world right now. So they have a say in the matter. For Dortmund and Bayern München, they are not privately owned companies. These are public companies.
Yeah.
They are treated publicly, so they can't really come up with the decision on the spot without going through a process that is so long and that will have a negative impact on everything. Fans will be angry. Like, imagine if Borussia Dortmund fans, they're not gonna accept that shit. It's not gonna be like Chelsea fans going, like, we saw Schalke. Like Schalke fans, and I don't condone this behavior. It's despicable. But they have actually chased Schalke. I don't know if you are aware of that, but they have actually chased Schalke players after one, like the game in where they were relegated, and they started like kicking them and beating them up. It's pretty horrible, man.
That's bad. But that also, like, that
that shows you the voice
that matters. Like, the fans' voices should matter.
Yeah. Like, not to the extreme point of starting, like, to threaten.
I think it's, like, very inappropriate and unacceptable to ever treat.
It's criminal. It's a criminal behavior. It's criminal. These people need to go to jail. It's assault. It's assault. And, like, trying to hurt people in their own body. So that should not be allowed at all. Like, there is no but in there. but football fans in Germany are strong.
Yeah, they care
a lot.
And
we saw that with Lewandowski's Porsche missing tires after it was announced that he's going to Bayern München the next day.
Like, there's like a lot, especially in like Dortmund and in other more like middle class areas, like for those fans, like, football, like, outside of their work life, football is like a big part of the rest of their life. Like, they,
yeah,
like, football is kind of like their way to escape from like that regular, you know, 40 hour a week work week, or I don't know, the work week in Germany might be a little shorter than it is here in the US, I'm not sure, but they like, that's a lot of these fans, like, that's what they look forward to, is watching their club, and like, that's something that they're able to enjoy. Like, they're doing it life and like, it's life and not life and death literally, but for a lot of them, it's like, it feels like it's a matter of life and death. Like, they care. Yeah. A lot of people care more about football almost than their own, than paying their bills, for example, just because of like how culturally significant football is. And I think when it's that, like, football is more than just like a sport that people watch. I think, especially in Europe, like in the United States, like, we have, like, I think the US is like totally lost when it comes to football. We've talked about this before, but
yeah,
but like in Europe, it's like part of the culture. Like, people grow up like kicking a football around. They grow up like watching and cheering and like being super excited and being super depressed because of the way that their football season has gone. And like, it, for a lot of these people, it's a way of life. It really is like a way of life, and it's a part of their life. And that's like, that even when we see the good and the, we also see the bad in that too, when we see like what happened in Schalke, but we see the good in that when we see like Dortmund fans filling the yellow wall and just like, it's like pretty remarkable. It's like, I don't know how to describe it, but it's something that like, you can't mess with that. Like, you can't just disregard what the people who are filling the stands think about stuff like the Super League. And that's why when so many fans spoke out and made it clear that they were against the Super League, I'm glad they did that, because it put a lot of pressure on teams to withdraw from the Super League. And that's why, you know, 48 hours after it was announced, the league was essentially destroyed. And I think that's an important moment too in like the course of football moving forward. Like that shows that the voices of the people who watch the game are still, like, their voices still matter, and they should matter. Like, I think the players' voices should matter, the fans' voices should matter, and then I think after that, obviously you've got like the club's voices and the organization's voices, but like, decisions need to be made, and they need to be made with respect to the opinions and thoughts of both the players and the fans.
Couldn't have said it like better than that. That's let's wrap it up with this. Like, decisions should be made with the consideration to footballers and the fans' emotions and opinions in that matter. And yeah, Well, thank God it's not, it's part of the past now, and now let's just go ahead. Season is almost up. We look forward to the Europe's Nations League. That's going to start in the in the summer. And yeah, football is life. For me, it's as much as I'm sure that for American listeners, other sports are also part of their life. I imagine football, baseball, American football, of course, baseball, basketball, some or similar sports like that. Let's also wish that fans are back in the stadiums as soon as possible. I definitely wanna go and watch a game live after all this bullshit is said and done. And yeah, let's hope things go as expected, and let's get the next 9 points. Let's get
Yeah,
all
let's get
nine
the next
points.
9 points.
Let's get the DFB Pokal. Let's put this entire season behind us. Let's win good things next season. Let's get some titles, man. Let's get some Bundesliga title, man. Let's get that shit. We need it. We fucking need it, man.
We do.
We need that. Marco Reus needs that. Jadon Sancho, Erling Haaland, Mats Hummels, Can, Vids, Burki,
Guerrero.
Reyna, Guerrero, Scholes, Brandt, Hazard, Knauf, I don't know, all the other players like Delaney, Bellingham. We need that shit, man. Zorc needs it. Vatska needs it. I don't know. Roman Weidenfeller needs it. Kevin Gross-Kreutz still needs it. Nuri Sahin needs it, man. For the sake of all times, man. Shinji Kagawa, we need to see some greatness back in Dortmund, man. We need to see
Kagawa,
that shit
dude, oh my
happen.
goodness.
And yeah, let's get that shit done, man. And yeah, it's done. I'm done, man. Let's let's save some for later. I'm
Yeah.
tired. Thanks guys for listening.